Welcome to this message from Alpha and Omega Christian Fellowship. We are a family on a journey to become more like Christ, sharing His kingdom by expressing His love. We hope that you will be blessed and encouraged by what we have to share.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you that we could gather together in the name of the Lord, and we thank you for the privilege of being able to receive ministry from you through your precious word, through your spirit. Thank you for releasing an anointing that is able to help us understand the word, hear the word, see the word, and be able to walk in the light of it. We thank you for opening ears today, Lord. We thank you for dispersing ignorance and darkness where your will is concerned. And we thank you for feeding us with the bread of life as we sit at your feet. We give you praise today and we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated, please. Good morning. Good morning. Before we go into today's message, I'd like to recap briefly some of the things that I taught last Sunday. As you recall, last Sunday, I taught you on the disposition of the overcomer. The word disposition means the predominant or prevailing tendency of one's spirit. It is your outlook in life. It is also a state of mind. And I have highlighted, among other things, that the overall characteristic of the overcomer is that he embodies the spirit of self-denial. He embodies the spirit of self-denial. In other words, the overcomer has been delivered from the love of self to the extent that he does not count his life dear to himself as to shield himself from suffering and even death. Remember the word in Revelation that says they overcame him, that is Satan. How? With the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives even unto death. That is the disposition or the state of mind of the one who overcomes. Furthermore, I have stated that our state of mind in life become the guiding forces of our future as well as our present. What that means is that if you embody a spirit of love and faith, then love and faith will be the guiding forces of your life. In other words, every decision you make, every word will be governed by the spirit of love and faith, because that is your overall disposition. But if your disposition in life is one of fear, insecurity, anxiety, you're stressed out, then your decisions in life will be based upon those guiding forces, will be based upon the spirit of fear. You will decide based on fear. And you will come to a place in your life where fear will control and dominate your every decision and your every action. And that will restrict you and limit you terribly. You will be afraid to do this, you'll be afraid to do that. The moment you give ground to the spirit of fear, it doesn't stop there. It continues to grow in you. You have to come to the place where you put a stop to it, because God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Amen? You see, if you allow those negative forces to determine your decisions, then your outlook in life will be very dark. Amen? So today we're going to speak about the faith of the overcomer. The faith of the overcomer. And as a foundation, we're going to read 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4. The epistle of John, 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4. Read it carefully, please. And when you read the Word of God, don't just read it. Stop and ponder and meditate on it. Let the Holy Spirit break the Word, expound the Word to you. And don't just go over it quickly. Amen? For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. Are you born of God? How many of you are born of the Spirit of God? Then the Word says you have overcome the world. You're not going to. You have already overcome in Christ, because you are in Him. God put you in Christ, and He is in you. Another verse says, because greater is the one that is in you than he that is in the world. That's why you're an overcomer, not because of you, but because of the one you're carrying within you. Whatever is born of God, or whoever is born of God, overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world. Our faith. This is the victory that has overcome the world. Your faith. Now, the Bible says, what we just read, the victory that overcomes the world is found in our faith in God and in His Word. Because God and His Word are one. Amen? Not just any kind of faith, though. Because the Bible speaks of different kinds of faith. But the faith of the overcomer is a Bible faith. And I'll explain what I mean by that. The Bible speaks of various kinds of faith. And for example, if you are a Bible scholar, you read your Bibles, you will know that what I'm saying to you is a fact, is the truth. In Romans chapter 4, verse 19, the Word speaks of weak faith. The Bible says that Abraham, not being weak in faith, he staggered not at the promise of God. That tells me that there is such a thing as a weak faith. Would you agree with that? Let's go on. Matthew chapter 14 and verse 31 and Matthew 16 and verse 8. Jesus spoke of little faith. So there is such a thing as little faith and weak faith. 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 19 speaks of shipwrecked faith. Some believers, Paul says, have made shipwreck of their faith. Luke 8 verse 25 speaks of misplaced faith. How often Jesus rebuked his disciples because their faith was misplaced. In other words, it was not in his word, but in what they saw and what they felt. If your faith is based on what you see, then your faith is really misplaced. Amen? For we walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by faith and not by feelings. Amen? Let's go on. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10 speaks of lacking faith. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3 speaks of growing faith. Paul, writing to the Thessalonians, he says, your faith continues to grow. You have growing faith. And finally, Matthew 15, verse 28, Jesus spoke of great faith. In fact, he marveled at the faith of the centurion, and he said, I have not found such great faith in all of Israel. You know the story. So through all of the references that we've just given you, we can establish the fact that faith can be measured. Your faith can be measured. Amen? Another important thing to note is that we can develop strong faith in one area and be weak in another area. Amen? Some people have a strong faith in praying for healing for other people, but when it comes to them, their faith is not that strong. For me, over the years, I have grown and developed my faith when it comes to my to God's financial provision. And it seems like I've never struggled to believe God for finances. But when it came to my health, I struggled and I found it difficult until recently when I was diagnosed with myasthenia gravis. Then I got hold of the Word of God and I began to build and strengthen my faith in that particular area. And praise God, a dear sister gave me a book by entitled The Healing Power of the Holy Communion. And as I began to study and read the Word concerning the promises of God in that area, my faith began to grow stronger and stronger when it comes to receiving my healing. And look, my eyes are perfectly healed. So you can grow in one area of your life and grow your faith, and in another area you're struggling. Some people struggle when it comes to the love walk. They can't forgive. They have a great challenge in forgiving people that have hurt them or done wrong to them. Amen. Other people grow their faith when it comes to winning souls. For them, it's so easy to win somebody to the Lord because they have developed their faith in that area. But I believe that God wants us to grow and develop and nurture and develop our faith in every sphere of our lives so that we walk in victory where our relationships are concerned, where our marriage is concerned, where our children are concerned, where our health is concerned, where our finances are concerned. Some people have a problem as they look into the future. They stress and they worry because they haven't developed their faith that God will take care of them even in their old age. Are you listening to me? So you can grow your faith. And you can develop it. And from little, it can go to much. And from weak, it can go to strong faith. Amen. I want us to look at now the greatest faith of all. What does the Lord consider great faith? Do you want to get there? Do you want the Lord Jesus to marvel at your faith and say, wow, you have great faith? Well, here it is. The greatest and the highest kind of faith is the faith that takes God at His word without any other supporting evidence. With any other evidence to support what God says. In other words, I don't need anything else but the Word. Are you listening? It is rooted, the great faith that the Bible speaks of is rooted in God's Word alone. It recognizes the authority of the Word of God as the highest and final authority and acts upon what God says. In other words, you believe it so much, whether you feel or whether you see anything or not, that you act on what he said. You take God at his word. No other supporting evidence to make you believe. That is the highest kind of faith. And that is the faith of the overcomer. And I believe God wants us all to reach that place where we take God at his word. If he said it, that settles it. I don't need anything else to prove or to support what God said to me or what God promised me. Amen? And we see this kind of faith displayed and expressed openly in the centurion's faith when he came to the Lord Jesus and he asked the Lord for his servant to be healed. Let's read the story here in Matthew chapter 8, verses 8 through to 10. And the centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof. Because when he asked the Lord to heal his servant, the Lord says, I will come and heal him. But the centurion stopped him and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed. For I am also a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. And when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, assuredly I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not in Israel. Isn't it amazing that the Lord would find such faith outside of the commonwealth of Israel? In other words, in a Gentile? He was not part of the covenant. And he found such great faith in this man. Why? Because he understood authority. And he recognized Jesus and his word as the highest authority in heaven and on earth. He said, you don't have to come lay hands on my daughter or come to my house. Just say the word and my servant will be healed. That's great faith. And that's where Jesus wants us all to go. Amen. This kind of faith, I believe. You see, this kind of faith is the currency of heaven. Just like money is the currency here in the earth. You cannot do anything without money. You cannot go anywhere. You cannot do anything. If you don't have the resources, you cannot do anything. You're stuck. And so it is with faith. Faith is the currency of heaven. This kind of faith will open any door in the kingdom of God. Any door. It will heal your body. It will restore your marriage. It will restore your finances. And will deliver you from any and every diabolical yoke. In other words, it will destroy the works of the devil in your life. You will walk in victory 365 days a year when you have such faith. Amen. Okay, let's go on. Here is where we stumble, most of us, including myself. And we need to learn this lesson. If we want to advance and progress in the things of God, if we want to take territory in the kingdom of God, this is the lesson that we need to learn and practice. Most of us hesitate to take God at his word and act on what he says because our faith so often is misplaced. Most times, it is based on our physical senses or on our natural circumstances rather than what God has said about it. Do you agree with that statement? Yeah. Amen. How can I say I'm healed when I still feel sick? If you say that, then I ask you, where's your faith? If you say, how can I say I'm healed when I still feel the pain in my body? I would be lying. Is that statement true? If you say that, where is your faith? Is it in God's word that says, by his stripes ye were healed? Or is it in your body or in your feelings, your senses, that says, no, you're not? Hello? That's why most of us don't get healed. Because our faith is not in God's word, it is how I feel. Let me ask you this. Is your feelings greater than the word of God? No, of course not. Why is it then that we believe more readily to believe what we feel rather than what God's word said? Amen. Oh, you're so quiet today. How can I believe I am an overcomer when I'm always being overcome by fear and anxiety? Then you're not believing what the word says, you're believing how you feel. You see, before you experience the victory, you're going to have to believe it. You're going to have to believe that God says, this is who you are. You are an overcomer. And you're going to have to believe it to the extent where you no longer hesitate to declare that you are who God says you are. We just sang, I heard the song while I was inside praying. God is, he is who he says he is, and you are who he says you are. I believe God. When he says you are an overcomer because you're born of my spirit, then I decree that I am a world overcomer because I'm born of God. I am healed, not because I feel it, but because I believe it. And I believe what God says about it. Are you listening to me? Unless we learn this lesson, we will never be able to go forward in our growth, in our development. We will be left out of what God promised us. Because it is according to your faith that it will be done to you. According to your faith, be it done unto you. That is the law of the Bible. Why do some people advance further than others? Because they have greater faith than others. Because they are willing to declare the word of God even before they see the manifestation of what they prayed for. Amen. How can I say I'm righteous when I behave up and down and this way and that way? Well, God says you have been made the righteousness of God. You're going to have to believe it before you walk it. If you don't believe it, you'll never walk it. You see, we put the cart before the horse many times. Amen? Unless we get to the place where we take God at his word without any other supporting evidence, we will always be dictated to by our physical senses and the circumstances we find ourselves in. You will be up and down. In and out, hot and cold, depending on how you feel and what you see. We become unstable and double-minded, James says. Look what James says. James chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. Let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. Why? If you're up and down, in and out, hot and cold, the Bible says you're a double-minded man. and unstable in all your ways, not just some ways, and that man will receive nothing from the Lord. Because God can't locate you. He's looking for you there, and you're out there somewhere. And the gift that is got for you is delivered to that address, but you're not at that address, you're somewhere else. Are you listening? Listen, how I pray you get this. I really pray that you get this. Because we're not going to go any further unless we learn this lesson. The bridge from the natural world into the spiritual is only one step away. But that one step is the most difficult step for most of us because it involves denying your senses and everything else that disagrees with the Word of God. That one step to cross over into the world of the Spirit where you become unlimited. You see, the world of the Spirit is unlimited. And when your faith reaches there, you are in a domain of unlimited possibilities. But that one step from the natural into the spiritual is the most difficult step for most of us because it requires you to deny your physical senses, what you feel, what you see, and what you think, in order to take hold of what God said to you. And this is where the fight of faith comes in. Paul says, fight the good fight of faith and lay hold of what God promised you. And it's difficult because it's crucifying the flesh. They that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and the desires thereof. God is not going to crucify your flesh. You have to do it. You have to deny your senses and take the word without your senses supporting that word. Amen? In order to take God at His word and act on what He says requires me to deny what I feel and what I see. I look at the mirror. My eyes are no better than they were yesterday or the day before. But I decree and declare that by His stripes I was healed, and if I was, then I am. I deny what I see with my natural eyes, and I take what God's word says. You see, the faith of the overcomer has all, the word of God is all he needs, all that I need to see and feel. I go to the word every time and I declare that, and I take that word and put it in my mouth, put it in my mind and in my heart. And out of the abundance of the word that is in my heart, my mouth speaks. Don't be afraid to say what God says about you. Don't be afraid to say what God says you have and what you can do. The word says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. God always leads me to triumph in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Listen, if I need to see first before I believe, that is not Bible faith. That's head faith. That's sense faith. You with me? And that's the kind of faith that Thomas had. Remember? Remember what Thomas said? Let's look what he said, what the Lord said to him. John chapter 20, verse 27. Then he said to Thomas, this is the Lord speaking, reach your finger here and look at my hands. and reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. King James says, and do not be faithless, but believing. Jesus called Thomas unbelieving. Did you hear that? We have too many unbelieving believers in the church today. Yes, too many unbelieving believers. We say we believe, but we are afraid to say what God says about us. Hello? Oh, what will they say if they hear me speak this way? They think you're crazy, but it's okay. The world is crazy. Oh, he's out of his mind. That's right. I'm out of my natural mind into my spiritual one. And I like that one better. Because that mind sees everything the way God sees it. Amen. We are hesitant to believe we have something unless we see it with our eyes or feel it with our feelings. Then we can say, I have it. That's not Bible faith. Why do you have to believe for something that you see? Faith is believing something you don't see. That's what faith is. I don't need faith to believe something that I feel I have it. I feel it. Why do I have to believe it? Are you with me? Faith is believing what you do not feel, what you do not see. Amen? I recall in the early years when I was learning to walk by faith, I went to my pastor. He was an older man, not the younger one, the older man. His name was also Jackson. And a seasoned believer for many years. And I asked him a question concerning Mark 11:24. Let's look at that verse. I'll never forget that day I asked him that question. Jesus is speaking here and he's teaching his disciples about faith. And in Mark 11:24, he says, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. So that was my question to him. I said, Pastor, can I say that I receive something that I prayed for before it materializes? Before I see it, before I feel it, can I say that I have received what I prayed for? He said, definitely not. That was disappointing. It took me a long time to recover and adjust my mind according to the Word of God. That's why I thank God for sound teaching, folks. How necessary it is to receive sound and scriptural teaching. Amen. Faith in God's Word says that you receive when you pray, not when you see it. That's where many believers stumble. They come, they say, please, Pastor, can you pray for me? They stand in line, you lay hands, you pray for healing. Did you receive anything? And they start feeling. No. Well, the Bible says, when you pray, believe. Believe what? Believe that you receive. Then you shall have. But the way we put it is, when I feel, I believe I have. That is not Bible faith. That is not scriptural. Amen? How many things you've been praying for and you're waiting to see before you can say, I have it? You'll never have it. If you wait to see it or feel it before you say you have it, you will never have it. You got to have it here first. I remember I was in Greece years ago, and we've been believing God for a minivan so that we can travel as a team and do the outreaches in the various cities. So I stood up on the pulpit before I preached, and I made a bold confession. Thank God, He gave us that which we have prayed for, and we received the minivan. And somebody stands up and he says, show me the key. Where's the key? Yeah? And I recall now, I said, Lord, what do I do? And the Holy Spirit gave me the answer. He said, it's in my mouth and in my heart. And that's where it was. And a few days after that, someone from the United States donated that car to us. And it came all the way from England to Greece. How do you think this building came about? Huh? That's the way I've lived. That's the way and I'm growing in that. Amen. I believe God. I believe His Word, especially the things that He promised me. Now, I'm not asking you to believe something that is outside of what God promised you. That's foolishness. That's not faith. But I have a right to believe what God said I have. And I will take God at His word, even though my senses say something different. That's how we advance in the kingdom of God. You got to have it here in your heart first. Amen. Let's go on. Notice what the Bible says about Abraham's kind of faith. If you wait, and let me say that again. If you wait to see or feel before you say you have it, you will never have it. And some of you have been praying for things that God promised you. Now listen carefully. If you wait to see it or feel it before you say you have it, you will never have it. Notice what the Bible says about Abraham's kind of faith. Romans 4:19. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body. The reason you're considering your senses above the Word of God is because your faith is weak. Weak faith considers the body, considers the senses, not the Word. Strong faith considers the Word, not your senses. That's what it says. Abraham, not being weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. You see, your body will speak to you. Every day your body will speak to you. Usually it speaks louder in the early hours of the morning when I wake up. He says, no, you don't really feel like praying. You don't want to go for a walk today. Why don't you go for half an hour? Why do you have to go for 2 hours? Just go around the block. I'm telling you, it will speak to you and doesn't give up. You're going to have to rise up and say, shut up. This is not the way it's going to go. I am going to walk for 2 hours today, and I'm going to pray for 2 hours in the Spirit. You shut your mouth. You remember what Paul said? But I keep under my body, and I bring it into subjection, lest by any means I preach to others and I myself am a castaway. Go to live what I preach. Amen. You got to live what you say. Not say one thing and do another thing. Amen. He considered not his own body. Learn to speak to your body. Just like you train your dog, you can train your body. Sit, he sits. Roll dead, he rolls dead. You show your body who's the boss. Hello. Self-control. Never mind, I won't say that. Let's go on. And he says, and he was, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. His wife's body spoke to him also. He says, you're crazy. We can't have a child. I'm 90 years of age. But Abraham's faith was strong, and he believed, and he considered the word above his body and above what his wife's body said. And that's the faith of the overcomer, folks. You want to overcome, you go to develop your faith the same way. Amen. Overcoming faith takes no consideration of what your senses say, what the doctor says, or anybody else for that matter. The doctor says you're dying. The word says, I will live and declare the works of God. I will not die, but live until my days are fulfilled. Why do I say that? Because Exodus 23:25 says, you serve the Lord your God, and he shall do what? Bless your bread. I will bless your water. I don't care what they put in that water. My water is blessed. Why? Because I serve the Lord. My bread is blessed. And then he says, I will take away sickness and disease from the midst of you, and the number of your days you will fulfill. Why am I going to fulfill the number of my days? Because he's taken away all sickness and disease. Amen? Psalm says, I will not die but live and declare the works of God. You see, faith is a choice. Unbelief is also a choice. Amen? What do you believe? It boils down to what you believe, what you really believe. Not what you say you believe, but what you really believe. And you will only find out what you really believe when the pressure is on. When the pressure is on, what's in your heart will come out your mouth. And you'll find out what you really believe. Amen. Overcoming faith only looks to Jesus and has ears only for Jesus. That's all the touching and the feeling he needs. If God says it, that settles it for me. I will act on that word. I will walk as though I'm an overcomer. Amen. I will walk as though I am healed and restored in every area of my life. Amen. So, we need to come to a place where we recognize the fact that we are who God says we are. We have what God says we have, and we can do what God says you can do. And if you really believe that, you'll start acting like it. Practice the word. Practice what the Bible says. Amen? Believe that with your heart and have the courage to boldly declare it with your mouth. That's how overcoming faith works. Look at Romans chapter 10, verse 10. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness. Not with the head, with the heart. Your heart is your spirit man, right here. You know, sometimes I feel, especially like this morning after prayer, I feel like I'm walking around like a pregnant woman that I'm about to give birth to so many wonderful things. Forgive my expression, but that's the best way I can put it. I have things here in my spirit. Over the years that I served the Lord and prayed and believed God, that they are about to come into this natural physical realm. But I have them already. And you haven't seen them yet, but you're going to see them. Where did that come from? It was here all the time. What do you have inside of you right here? What's inside? Because that's what really counts. What's on the inside of you? This is who you are. Have you taken hold of that which God promised you? Amen. When you believe the word with your heart or your spirit, the word that you believe from your heart will naturally come out your mouth. That's the substance that God takes and brings it about. Faith is the substance of your hopes. Not just empty words, But words that come from your spirit, man, throughout your mouth, they carry authority and they carry the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's just like God spoke that word through your mouth. For if you believe with your heart and you say with your mouth, and not doubt in your heart, but believe that those things you say will come to pass, you shall have whatever you say. That's the law of faith. Overcoming faith. Bible faith. Abraham's faith. Jesus said in Matthew 12:34, "For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." Our mouth actually has no choice in the matter. It's the spirit, the heart, that makes the choice. And what your heart chooses to believe, that's exactly what your mouth will speak. Amen. If our hearts are filled with the Word of God, guess what's going to come out of your mouth? But if your heart is filled with worry and anxiety and fear, hello? That's exactly what's going to come out. And the things that you fear will eventually down the road materialize. Because it's this, you're giving substance to the enemy to create what you believed. You have more faith in the devil than in God. Some believers are more scared of the devil than they believe God. Amen. It's true. Someone said, "Oh, Pastor, I've been running all week. The devil is chasing me." Instead of you chasing him. When the enemy sees such disposition and such boldness of faith, he's terrified. He's terrified of you. Because you know who you are and you know what your God said about you, that you're an overcomer, that you're a child of God, born of His Spirit. You have the life for a nature of God in your spirit. Amen. If we are hesitant to say what God says about us or about any other situation, it means that we don't really believe God. We may say we believe and even think we believe, but that is what I call head faith. You believe with your head. It's like I'm trying to walk with my hands. My hands are not for walking. My feet are for walking. Are you listening to me? Your head is to think and calculate, not to believe with. Your spirit is the one that believes. For with the heart, man believes. So don't try to believe God with your head. That's the wrong. You're reversing things. Amen. You see, head faith, listen, is based on your senses, but heart faith is based on the Word of God. Head faith will take you as far as your senses will and no further. It will drop you where your senses stop. But heart faith will take you right into the promises of God and cause you to experience the reality of the promise. Heart faith will empower you and give you the ability to act on what God says. But head faith is void of power. It has no power. There's a difference. Amen. There's Thomas's faith, there's Abraham's faith. There is weak faith, there is strong faith. There is little faith and no faith at all. There is misplaced faith, there's great faith. Now, I'll spend a few minutes on faith's vision of excellence. One of the wonderful things about the God kind of faith is that it enables you to see further than any naked eye can see. Peter calls this faith, the faith of the believer, as precious. You ever read that? 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1, he says, we have received like precious faith. Now, the word precious means it's highly valuable. It's costly. Amen? In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7, Peter again calls our faith more precious, he says, than fine gold. What is the most expensive commodity here on earth? Gold? Platinum? But in the realm of the Spirit is faith. Bible faith. He says it is more precious than gold. It is so precious because, among other things, it gives us the ability to see things which are not visible to the natural eye. Did you hear that? Faith sees the answer before it arrives and boldly declares what it sees. It has that ability. It looks into the realm of the Spirit and sees as clearly as anything. It sees what is coming. It sees a bright future. It sees hope where there is no hope. It sees victory in the midst of defeat. It sees beauty in a place of ugliness. Have you ever read in the scripture where the prophet says the earth is filled with his glory? It takes the eye of faith to see that, because the naked eye, it says, this is not full of the glory of God. It's full of misery and pain and sickness and starvation and wars. But faith sees what the naked eye cannot see. Can you imagine the value of that? When you look at defeat in the eye and you see victory, when there is no hope and you see hope, when there's defeat and you see victory, and you declare that, that's what faith will give you. Excellence of vision. That's why Jesus said to the church in Laodicea, he says, you don't know. You say you're rich and you have possessions and you have this and that, and you do not know that you're naked and blind. Therefore, I counsel you to buy gold and eye salve and rub your eyes. What was he talking about? He was talking about spiritual blindness. You see, that's what compromise will do for you. If you compromise the Word of God, it will blind you spiritually, and you will not be able to see what God wants you to see. You read the words in the book of Matthew, say, these people's hearts have grown dull. Hearing, they hear, but they do not understand. Seeing, they see, but they cannot perceive. Why? Because the hearts have grown dull. That's because of sin in our lives. That's because of compromise. One of the greatest deceptions and the most dangerous deceptions in the church is to believe that you can go on living any way you want to live, give in to the flesh whenever you feel like it, thinking that because we are under grace, we will escape the judgment of God. And one day you wake up and you realize, just like Samson woke up one morning and realized that the Lord had departed from him. Too many believers today in the church continue to give in to the fleshly desires, live any way they want to live, ignore the Word of God, and view the commandments of the Lord as suggestions rather than commandments, and then we pick and choose what to obey and what to reject. That is one of the deadliest deceptions in the church. Thinking, oh, I'm under grace. And they keep quoting that verse that says, there is no condemnation anymore to those who are in Christ Jesus. They stop there. But the word says, for those who walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. Romans 8 says, if you walk in the flesh, you will die. Spiritually, die. You were dead once in your trespasses and sins. Then you believed in Christ and you were raised from the dead. But you can die again if you continue to live fulfilling the desires of the flesh. And the word of the Lord says in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7, God is not mocked, do not be deceived. For whatsoever a man soweth, that he shall also reap. He who sows to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, and he who sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. It's time we take God's word seriously, folks, and don't allow the devil to deceive you. Amen. I don't know why I got onto this subject. This is not part of my notes. But anyway, faith gives us the ability to hear, to understand our Father in heaven, and faith connects us to the world of unending possibilities. I believe that if we only realized and understood how precious our faith is, we would spend a lifetime nurturing it and developing it. Just like our overcoming disposition in life is nurtured and developed through intimacy with the Lord Jesus, even so, overcoming faith is nurtured and developed the same way. You spend a lot of time with the Lord, a lot of time in His Word, you will become a giant in your faith. Amen. You spend a lot of time meditating in the world of the world and in the devil's lies, your faith will grow weak. You will not be able to resist the enemy. And you will be overcome at every step of the way. Amen. When we spend, and I've experienced this many times, and you can experience it too, folks. When we spend time in prayer and fellowship with the Lord, the Holy Spirit begins to breathe upon the Word of God. And when that happens, He opens our understanding to receive revelation on the word we meditate on. When revelation enters your mind, we are transitioned from head faith to heart faith. When revelation enters the mind. And how? Through meditating, through spending time in the Word, the Spirit begins to breathe upon the word you meditate. It opens it up, opens your understanding. Remember the scripture that says Jesus breathed on them and He opened their understanding and explained the scriptures to them. And when that happens, there is a transition taking place or a transformation. You move from head faith to heart faith. And when that happens, the impossible becomes possible. Our weaknesses are transformed into our greatest strengths, and our doubts and fears are drowned in the boundless love of God. That's when the transformation takes place. We keep looking unto Jesus. We behold the glory of the Lord. And as we do, we are transformed into the same image. From one level of glory to another. We become bold as lions. The Bible says the righteous are as bold as a lion. Amen. And our hearts are fixed and they are established in God's goodness and in God's faithfulness toward us. We become the fulfillment of Psalm 112. Look at Psalm 112 in closing, verse 7 and 8. He will not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He will not be afraid until he sees his desire upon his enemies. And I say this, may we spend our days, folks, nurturing and developing such faith that overcomes the world, the flesh, and the devil. Amen. And finally, remember Luke's Gospel chapter 18 and verse 8. Jesus asks a question. Will, when the Son of Man comes, will He really find faith on the earth? Our answer should be, yes, Lord, You will find it in me. That's what He's looking for. in his church. What's he looking for? The faith of the overcomer. Will I find faith when I return? You determine that. Say that to the Lord. Yes, Lord, you'll find that faith in me. I will fight the good fight of faith. I will finish my race. I will keep the faith until the end. And finally, 2 Corinthians 13:5. Paul writes to the Corinthians and says, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Have you ever read that before? Test yourselves. Do you know yourselves? Wow, what a question he's asking the church. He says, examine yourself. What kind of faith do you have? Where are you in your faith? Are you actively believing God? Or are you just going along as the world goes? Whatever will come, will come. What kind of faith do you have? Test your faith. Is it weak? Then it must grow strong. Is it little? Then it must grow. Amen? Let's stand and thank the Lord for his word. Father, we thank you so much for your precious word today. Hallelujah. I know here that you've been believing God for an abundance of finances to come into the church's treasury. How many of you have been exercising faith along those lines? This is your church, folks. This is not just the pastor's responsibility. And I'm pleased to announce to you that in the last month, the church has received, in answer to prayer and to the seed that was sown, a wonderful harvest. Let's rejoice about that. Let's give thanks to God and continue to believe him along those lines. How many of you are believing God that he would give you one soul that you would lead to Christ? What do you feel when you look and you see that, you know, there are no new souls? No, thank God we had a few baptisms the other day. You know, this is not just going to happen. It's going to happen because you exercised your faith, because you went out and witnessed to someone, because you spoke to someone about Jesus and about the goodness of God. Come on, folks. The harvest is plenteous. It's all around us. Amen? Let's believe God and let's do what he says. Father, we thank you for your precious word. And Lord, may we become doers of your word, not just hearers only. Thank you, blessed Holy Spirit, that you open up the word every single day and you feed us, you nurture us as we take the time to wait upon you, to minister to you. We bless you for your goodness, your faithfulness, and we thank you for the precious gift of faith that you've given us. Teach us how to develop it. Teach us how to nurture it. Teach us how to have a growing faith that continues to grow from strength to strength so that we may see the mighty hand of God at work in our lives, in our churches, in our neighborhoods, in our families. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope that you've enjoyed this message. For additional resources and more information, come and visit us at alphaomega.org.za.